Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. Teresa, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. Getting ready to head back out for another day with the Bucks and the Titans.
Absolutely. So what stood out to you yesterday in day one on the field between the Bucks and the Titans?
Titans defense. Now, that granted, that's what I was watching. I was on that side of the field. But, yes, there's a caveat. No Tom Brady, no Mike Evans, no Chris Godwin. But they do have Cameron Brait and, you know, some of these other players. The defense just kind of dominated. I mean, you know, Jeff Simmons had a big day, you know, a sack, batted down pass, 1 point on a run play. I think it was a run play. He just said this is blank and easy. So they were kind of having some fun yesterday. Today I'm going to be watching the offense because I hear tell from colleagues who are on that side of the field that Titans defense did pretty good yesterday. So, I mean, the offense rather. And, that's a good thing, especially considering that Monday, Titans offense wasn't that great.
Yeah, I would agree, especially, especially the backup QBs. But on the defensive side, Teresa, we were talking about this earlier. Jared was mentioning that McCreary was getting some of those ones reps that, of course, Farley's been getting all of those. And McCreary, of course, has been getting ones reps inside with Molden out. But what do you – I mean, I know a lot was made of Farley's day. What did you think of that, first of all? And do you think that could become a heated competition here as we get to the later stages of camp?
Well, I think it is a competition already. The fact that they put McCreary out there for the first outside, opposite of Christian Fulton, for the very first team rep against the Bucks, I think is significant. And then when they, when Farley did come in, when they went to nickel, then McCreary kind of slid inside and saw him following around Julio Jones. With Farley on the outside, but that's the thing. This rookie from Auburn has just made some massive strides, for this team. And either way, no matter who ends up starting, they've got to be ecstatic because the kid who they took in the second round kind of surprised us. We were expecting, I think all of us were thinking tackle, receiver again, anything other than cornerback. And McCreary is showing day in and day out why they made him their second-round pick, 35th overall.
Teresa Walker on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Teresa, we were just talking about Ryan Tannehill and the way that he's played thus far in camp. Have you seen anything from Tannehill that's made you feel, I guess, dramatically different one way or the other about your expectations for him heading into this season? What have you made of the way he's played?
Nothing that's changed my thoughts. I've been expecting a bounce-back season from him. Excuse me.
I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
But I used
that happened to me yesterday.
Mute myself when I'm trying to talk. It's like the other way around.
You do that. I don't think there's any question about that. But the Tannehill discussion with you, people are fired up about it.
I'm so fired up about it, I can't talk.
That's right.
I was like worried for a second. Like, have we lost Teresa? Someone attended Teresa.
Luckily, I had water here to help me talk.
There we go.
With Tannehill, we've seen him. He's been so much more vocal. He gets it, okay? He's been in this league. He's 34. He's been in this league. He's been traded once by the team that drafted him. He understands that last year's not good enough. I asked Pat O'Hara in the offseason about, what their plan was for dealing with the interceptions, and the answer I got was, well, Teresa, we just moved on, essentially. And I think that's where Ryan Tannehill is. He's putting last year behind him. He understands that they drafted Malik Willis. He has a very big, cap number this year that makes it tough. But, next year it'd be a little easier if they wanted to move on from him. So, he's trying to prove and show that he's the quarterback for this team. He's been vocal telling people, there was a receiver he didn't connect with on Monday. He was over there talking and almost moving around trying to show what he was looking for and maybe how to better play that, the play. And let's not forget, he was a decent wide receiver, not as a receiver coming into college, but as a quarterback who was good enough to play wide receiver and then go back to be quarterback. So to me, it's him trying to seize control of this team because it's his future, absolutely at stake. You know, he's been a leader, and they talked about his leadership since he moved into the starting lineup in October 2019. It just feels like he's taking even more vocal ownership. Even though he says he doesn't feel he's being more vocal, he's absolutely speaking up and making clear to all these new people around him what he's expecting.
Yeah. I don't want to get into an argument with another media person. I've argued with Jared enough. You are kind of on Jared's side on this. But yeah, the Kyle Phillips interaction stands out for sure. I do think that he has to do more. Like last year to this year, you know, he and A.J. Brown had a great thing. Like there's no – whenever A.J. Brown practiced last year in camp, like, you know what you're doing. And Julio Jones, who didn't practice, but even if he was, like – those are like now you're talking about Phillips, Burks, right? Like it's a way younger, newer group. So I think maybe it's more he's reacting to the environment. But regardless, he has played well. I want to give you credit, Teresa, on I think one of the best tweets of camp by Titans media, because not only did you point out that Ryan Stonehouse was holding, but that John Robinson was right there looking very closely at that. And he was doing it again yesterday. And so, I think that you've got to look at that and wonder if there's an actual change afoot there. Do you think that Ryan Stonehouse might actually win the punting job for the Titans?
I definitely think there's much more of a chance than I thought coming into camp. I mean, you know, when you see Mike Vrabel say, yes, there's a competition there. And then when you see John Robinson watching him hold, because, you know, it's not just punting. You know, the kid has got incredible hang time. I mean, you know, you go one Mississippi, you can get to five. So in punting terms, that's really good. The edge that Brett Kern has is his directional punting, his ability to put the ball and use the sideline as that extra defender and help corral great returners and make it easier for the Titans to tackle him. Well, we saw one of those out of Stonehouse in Baltimore. You know, he had a touchback, which, you know, that's something that you have to work on, is being able to do what Kern has done for so long, get that ball so that they can, you know, down it inside the five or the 10 at the worst. And so, yes, you know, the fact that they're watching him and giving him reps in a joint practice to hold, you know, and you're essentially benching Brett Kern in that situation, that means they want to see what this kid can keep doing. And that absolutely turns it into a competition, because if he can hold and not affect, you know, Randy Bullock and be a smooth part of that operation, then that scratches another very big box. And let's not forget, this is a team that has really struggled in the kicking area, what, 2-3 years now, ever since Ryan Succop's leg caused him issues. So this is absolutely a competition, and this one may go to the final cuts.
Teresa, can we just acknowledge real quickly that Joe Rexroad just asked you about a change at punter and used the term change of foot?
God.
That was very, very well played there, Joe.
Pun completely not intended, but hey, I'll take it. Just give me that dad joke.
Beautiful out there. So, Teresa, last thing for you here. What are you looking for today in day two on the field out there between the Titans and the Bucks? And what did you make of Julio Jones out there yesterday as well? Actually, on the practice field for Tampa Bay.
On the practice field, Titans fans won't see him in the game. Todd Bowles already said he will not play. Yeah, it was nice. I didn't see a ton of Julio Jones, okay? He had a nice snag against Caleb Farley in the two-minute drill at the end. But, yeah, it's kind of like last season, Titan fans. And what I'm expecting today, Todd Bowles said that he didn't think they were very rested yesterday. So we'll see if they come back. You know, day two, you get a little embarrassing spots, and their offensive line got whooped yesterday. So I would expect them to try to bounce back and play better. That said, it's Kyle Trask and Blaine Gabbert out there at quarterback for the Bucks. No Tom Brady makes this a lot different. It feels like the Titans are going to get a chance for better work next week when they're going up against Kyler Murray.
Should be lots of fun. Teresa, enjoy yourself out there today. Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you,
guys. Hey, wait, Teresa, hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to give you an opportunity, like equal time. You shot at Kaharsky? If you'd like to take one, the floor is yours.
Well, I just don't understand why he continues to hang on to that bone. When I am not at a game, and I don't travel on the road with the teams because I also cover Predators, Vanderbilt, Grizzlies, Tennessee, you name it. So I don't travel on the road with the Titans. But when I start a game, and I always tweet that I'm couch tweeting, So I have never, ever tried to defend, say that I was actually at a game. But I do think that the people who follow me on social media like to see what I'm seeing and taking advantage of the extra TV replays that we get that you don't always get a chance to watch in the press box. And I'm going to tweet because, hello, the rest of the world is tweeting some of these games as well. I'm supposed to sit back and stay silent just because I'm not at the game. Sorry, Paul, I'm not there to help promote your sponsors. I'm doing my job.
See, done in a very classy way. I got to go back and look at your tweets from that London game where you're like, can you please pass the gray poupon? Like, you're like pretending to be like, oh, I guess I'll go over to Wimbledon after the game. Like, what? Ah, let's have some fun at PK's
first
expense.
Tweet, I always try to say couch tweeting today. So, you know, maybe I forgot that day. It's been a couple years, but hello. No, I've never tried to fool anyone into thinking I was there. But
very
I don't
good.
Have sponsors to. To please.
Let's give PK a swirly today at practice.
Very good. Teresa, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Teresa Walker, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More on the Titans and Bucks coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Show, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in for National Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:05 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds are on the road taking on Jacksonville, the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Shout out to DJ Burnside on Twitter.
Yep, you saw it too.
Who has photoshopped Scott Stapp being a very faithful listener to Robbie and Rex Road every morning. Scott, we appreciate you. Shout out to Creed.
I need to know all the elements of that picture because he's in this really nice, like, little plaid shirt.
I've just retweeted it, by the way, at @RStanleyNHL.
And he's got like a 1950s radio when he's turning the knob.
Looks like they're on Blue's Clues or something in there.
It does, yeah. Scott Stapp would probably be pretty good on Blue's Clues.
I think he would.
Don't sing any of his songs. Don't scare away the kids.
Scott, you're welcome on this program anytime. Anytime you want to come.
Yep, it's a non-musical.
It's an open invite.
It's a non-musical program. We just talk in this program.
Yep, no question about it. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Multiple people pointing out your change of foot talking about punting on the text line.
Yeah, I wish I could take credit for it. But, hey, we'll take the unintentional dad jokes, too. I'd like to point out Adam of Portland, our good friend who calls in sometimes, texts sometimes, on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, about the Rex rant. Quote, Joe just completely mutilated Jared in the most professional manner ever, end quote. That's basically what I was trying to do. So thank you for noticing that, Adam.
Cheerio.
Oh, yeah. Cheerio, like Teresa's tweets from the London game. Bollocks! Why did Vrabel go for two? Oh, my!
Joe just sips his tea. Pinkies up.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, good gracious. Just beautiful stuff. So what are you looking for today, day two of On the Field between the Titans and the Bucks? I know you were enthralled by the practice yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited for this practice. No, it's it's the best thing you got going in a training camp, you know? It's the best thing you've got going anymore in a training camp. So you gotta embrace these days. I am looking at Farley. I'm definitely gonna be And it's not just because Jared's switching. I'm going to switch the other way. I think I'm going to go ahead and check out more defense today because Jared said it and Teresa backed it up. You know, first rep McCreary out there. Ah, interesting. You got to look at some of these things. Who's getting reps? Not just who's doing what, but who's getting reps. So that's interesting. I'm going to watch that, first of all, just who's out there when, and then also how Farley responds. Right tackle again. You know, by the way, again, Raidens pretty much got the ones reps yesterday. So, I think that means something. You know, one thing I heard the guys talking about once our show ended with Chase Willie Demas with Chase and Big Joe yesterday about Malik got a lot more of the, like, when the twos came out, Malik was out there more than Logan. And yep. he came out first with twos. But the thing with that is, I almost think of it like the less work Woodside gets, that almost cements like, yeah, okay, you're fine. We know who you are. Let's give Malik more work. You know what I mean? I don't.
Look, I do. I wonder if Logan starts to get a little bit more as he's performed the last week.
Right. Yeah. Well, that right. It's almost like inverted with that situation because, and it's just like all the guys who aren't going to play at all in the preseason games. You know, when you have a known commodity, okay, just going to keep that commodity healthy. But yeah, that'll be interesting too. What do they do with the backups? How does that go? And then how do they play? I mean, so those guys have to bounce back. You want to see progress. Farley, certainly. The offensive line, I mean, the offensive line is getting the best look of anybody in camp, I think. When you have Vea out there and Hicks out there and all those guys and White's running around blitzing and stuff, like, they're getting probably the best look of anyone. And again, like, someone brought up earlier on the text line about the domination of the Titans' D-line. Remember, this is actually strength against weakness. Not to sneeze at them playing well, but, like, we know who Jeffrey Simmons is, right? Now, maybe he's better this year. Maybe he's a little bit quicker, a little bit better. But they should dominate that interior. I think that's the big concern for the Bucs.
So did you have any lingering concern on Treylon Burks after practice yesterday? He left practice, didn't come back out there. There's been some video tweeted out of when people think it happened. And didn't look – I mean, obviously there was no, like, card on the field or anything. So hopefully not overly serious, but – be great for him to be out there today, obviously from the standpoint of him being healthy, but I still contend that he needs a lot of reps. So really looking to see if Treylon Burks is out there today.
Big time question. Big time. Because, like, again, I think Imani Hooker coming out yesterday with all the safety moves, I was like, keep those eyes out for 37. And I don't know that he did everything, but he was out there. And that's kind of been the thing with Hooker. I think he's got a little thing going on, but, you know, no big concern. Yeah, with Burks, he needs these reps so much. And that's the great thing about Farley. Even if he ends up, you know, in this intense battle to start, he's been out there the whole time. And even McCreary's been a little bit banged up. Burks needs these reps badly, and obviously they need Burks to be out there and play well. Because as much of an NWI supporter as I am, and friend of the show, and he looks good. Yeah. He is going – well
– former friend of the show.
Yeah, frenemy of the show.
Yes. Hey, sorry, Nick. That was so awkward.
friend, but please keep your distance from me of the show. Yeah. But look, I think he's going to have a good year, but, like, you want Treylon Burks to challenge him for those snaps. You draft a guy in the first round, you made this huge move, and Burks is your replacement for A.J. Brown, like it or not. And, you know, as soon as possible for this offense's sake, you need Treylon Burks to actually be knocking on the door.
You do, and, you know, he's got to be out there. I mean, I think – and we saw some people on our text line the other day when you talked about Racy McMath and the role that you believe he currently has with the Titans, maybe being ahead of Burks. You know, some people on the text line are like, yeah, really? Racy McMath? Burks is going to have to be out there. So, look, I think it's been really encouraging that he's been available for the most part all camp long thus far. It's not like everybody's injury-proof out there. Injuries are going to happen, so at least it's not a, hey, get yourself in shape thing with Treylon Burks anymore, but it would be great if yesterday was more precautionary and he's back out there today and ready to go.
Yeah, and it's just hard to tell what it was. I think Kaharski – so Braden saw it on the sideline and said, you know, he thought maybe lower, you know, but he walked in. It could also be a shoulder. He came down real hard.
He did.
You know, so but, like.
By the way, he made a great catch on the play.
Yeah. So it could be shoulder. I mean, we can sit here and speculate all day. The fact that he walks in under his own power is good, but who knows? And it's also like today, if there's any doubt at all, do you want him out there in what could be a little bit more intense physical situation? Probably not. But, like, if he's on the bike or something today, then that probably means, you know, that means it's not serious to the point where you're not going to see him for a while. So you'll probably see him out there relatively soon if that's the case.
Do have some very tragic news to pass along, and Joe Dubin sent this to me and made me aware of it. Now I've seen it all over Twitter. Luke Knox has passed away, the brother of Dawson Knox, who went to, I think, Brentwood Academy and was at FIU as well. So Luke Knox passing away, brother of Dawson Knox. Really tough situation there.
My goodness.
And I'm just seeing terrible. Sean McDermott's addressed it, head coach of the Bills as well. So wanted to pass that along. As like hate to see that. Just heartbreaking situation. We'll continue to take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Also, we'll also get to the Julio Jones situation coming up as well. I thought it was interesting. Teresa kind of sounded like she had a little bit of a different view of Julio Jones than some people did yesterday. We'll get to that coming up next as well. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Miles joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Miles, what's going on?
Well, you know, you mentioned it. We're treating our ED with pills, needles, surgery. They all come with side effects. Most come with recovery time. You know, and most guys are taking the pill, let's be honest. But you know what? Harvard has reported that the pill doesn't even work on 30% of guys. You know, we're upgrading our life with technology every day. Well, now we have a medical technology called acoustic wave therapy that's upgrading the way that we're treating ED. It's a machine that sits on the skin where gentle pressure waves travel through the skin into the blood vessels, helping them to expand, oftentimes repair themselves, freeing you from the dependency of the pill, because we treat the root cause of ED with a technology.
So, Miles, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this technology?
Well, you log on to our website. We feature 60 of them. There's more coming in every day. The likes of Cambridge and the Cleveland Clinic have studied this. These guys are all calling this treatment safe and effective. Some are even saying this should be the new standard of care for ED treatment.
And, Miles, you've got a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
Yep, give us a call right now. 615-576-5000. Your exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound are all free, plus a gift we give you just for coming in that guys love. That's free as well. All you got to do, pick up the phone, call us right now.
You heard it, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell tomorrow night for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz from 6 to midnight. They'll preview the big games and then take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz on 102.5-106.3 The Game. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to some high school football in the area. My beloved Hendersonville Commandos underway tonight. Taking on Oakland. So, be a good game.
That's a
heck of a way to start the season.
That is. That's an opener right there.
No question about it. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Talking Titans, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, Robbie, let me ask you a question, man. How do you feel about Julio breaking ankles at practice, man? It really ticks me off, man. Like, we get the worst of him. We get his recovery year. It's the same thing with Suck Up, man. I don't understand people coming from Tennessee going to the Bucks and playing like that. Suck Up was shanking 42-yard field goals here, and he's hitting 50 in the Super Bowl. Like, it doesn't make it. I thought he was done. I thought Julio was done. I'm still convinced that Julio is no more than probably a 400 or 500-yard receiver, but he looked – I saw the tape, man. He looked legit yesterday. That's terrible.
Thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, look, man.
That's terrible.
I have thought about this, and honestly, I think we talked about it. The moment that he signed in Tampa and went down there with Brady, I was like, man, can't you just see it now, like a bounce-back year from Julio Jones with Tom Brady down there in Tampa? Now, I don't know what a bounce-back year for Julio Jones means. I'll say this. I don't if he can stay healthy, which is a gigantic if, I don't think it's going to be all that difficult for him to surpass his totals last year here with the Titans. So – I guess bounce back year is in the eye of the beholder. But, I mean, he's been healthy thus far down there. Looks okay out
yeah.
there.
I mean, we'll see, you know, and if that's the case, it is. It's just straight up bad luck. A Clowney left and had a very underwhelming year here, was hurt, really. That was the biggest issue with him. And then
he's good last year,
you know, with Cleveland. And not just Suck Up. He had a bunch of kickers just flood them into the NFL.
Cairo Santos.
There. Yeah, you know. But there's been other examples. You've had I don't think Corey Davis exactly made everybody sad he was gone. I mean,
lit the Titans up.
Well, that's true. He did light the Titans up that day, didn't he? He had one big play, but yeah. Jonnu Smith hasn't exactly been in one season. I still think he's going to be, but we'll see. Maybe they'll screw it up. Who else is left? Is anybody else left? I guess we'll see if Mariota come back player of the year with the Falcons this year.
Well, I mean, you could really go through half the roster down there in Atlanta.
That's true. If Atlanta's a surprise team in the NFL, Titans Southeast. So, but who, you know, of all those guys, is there anybody other than Dean Pease who has gone, and Arthur Smith, who's gone to Atlanta who people would want back right now?
I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah. Mariota for you, but yeah.
Yeah, really.
Other than that.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about trying to find a backup quarterback. He'd be pretty good.
That'd be
as
amazing.
As far as backups are concerned.
What if it came all the way around to that?
I don't think it's going to happen.
Competes with Tannehill's job in 2023.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Julio, he did look good yesterday. I don't know that he looked amazing, but he looked good. I mean, last year when Julio Jones played, and there were practices, by the way, where he made people look silly, I thought when he played last year, he at least still looked like a decent two in the NFL. Still a guy you want on your team who could make plays, even like the Kansas City game first half but it just like, can they count on Julio's hammies staying cooled down all year? I mean, I still have my doubts about that.
Right. I mean, look, everybody's talking about Julio and how good he looks down there in Tampa Bay, and that's great. We've not made it to week one yet. So,
yeah.
I'm just
– It is different. It is definitely different camp to camp, no doubt.
No question. Yeah. But let's – he couldn't play three games in a row last year without that thing firing back up. Now, maybe he's over it. Look, I hope he is. I hope he is over it. Julio, I'd like to see what he can do down there. Now, I don't think even if he's over it completely – like, the days of vintage Julio Jones, I think, are just gone at this point. I don't think it's coming back. But I am interested to see what he could be if fully healthy. I just know this, and you brought this up earlier. Can you imagine if he stays healthy the majority of the year, puts up a decent to good season, and then A.J. Brown goes out there in Philly and just lights it up? Titans fans are going to be so mad.
If Titans fans could pick – one of these two guys is going to have like a 12 to 1,500 yard, 10 touchdown season for a team that has great success. I mean, great success for the Bucs would be winning it all. Great success for the Eagles, I guess, would be like winning the division, maybe win a playoff game.
Yep.
But let's say you could pick one of those two guys to do that. Which would bother you least?
I mean, that's a great question. Probably Julio, because A.J. is younger, and I think you expect that from A.J., so if he didn't do it, I think Titans fans, there are some that will take great pleasure in A.J. Brown not succeeding.
Well, I agree. I think it's definitely Julio. I think people could much easier handle 1 year stopping Julio. Hey, tough luck. He went on. He still had something left in the tank. It looked like he didn't. Fine. Good for him. But if A.J. goes in there, then again, you're looking at all the years ahead that could have been A.J. Brown here.
Right.
And also, I just think that people are mad at him on Twitter and have turned his tweets into, he's a bad guy.
It's going to be interesting with Julio. I mean, right now, he's basically their number one guy with Godwin not completely healthy and then Evans and Gage out. Like, that to me is the more interesting part, is when everybody's healthy and Brady's back and Gage is healthy and Evans is healthy and Godwin's back in there. Like, he's probably your number four at that point, right? And you've got Scotty Miller, who's kind of he plays a different role. Like, what sort of a role, if everybody's healthy, is Julio going to have? Now, Todd Bowles was talking last week, I think, about like him, Julio basically replacing Gronkowski, and was like, "Yeah, well, nobody can replace Rob Gronkowski, but Julio looks pretty good out there, a little weapon in the red zone." And it always goes back to me with Julio, and we talked about this last year when we were with the Titans. Everybody talks about Julio being like some great red zone weapon. The touchdowns have never been there, which is maybe the most.
It's never really been him.
It's the most, I think, fascinating part of his career, because he's got everything. I mean, or in his prime. Speed, size, he can out-jump you. And you look at it, and I'm not going to sneeze at his career touchdowns. He's got 61 career touchdowns. It's a good career. But for a guy like that, he's going to go down as you know, numbers wise, one of the best receivers of all time. It's not a whole lot of touchdowns.
No, it's not. So like, I don't know if it's not like he's like Randy Moss, who's just right. Like, yep, you just throw it up and you know what's going to happen.
So is he just all of a sudden going to turn in some big red zone weapon? I mean, the last 3 years combined, he's got 10 touchdowns in 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that. That seems like a little bit of a stretch. Yeah, he's always, I mean, again, do everything. To me, his where he is always so good. He was great at going and get passes, though, downfield. You know what I mean? Just, I don't know, just didn't materialize in the red zone, I mean, per the numbers. And I don't remember that being a huge thing. I mean, you look at like, I mean, look at his 136 for 1871 in that 2015 season. He still only had 8 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And he's still after even the last 2 years, he's still at 15.2 per catch. I didn't realize this. He averaged 14 a catch last year for the Titans. That's a good number.
Yeah.
Now, you know, 31 catches. But
sample size even wasn't great.
For all the time he missed and all the complaining and everything, 31 for 434, 14 a catch. I guess I just forgot. Like, those numbers are better than I would have just guessed if you said, give me Julio Jones numbers from last year.
Well,
it's basically, you know.
A third of them came in the Seattle game.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I remember the conversation we had that next day was, man,
yep,
Julio looks good out there. He looks great. And that was the same game where AJ dropped like 4 balls.
Yes.
And Julio's wide receiver 1 for this team.
Yeah,
he figured it out.
They win in overtime earlier if AJ Brown catches a perfect pass from Tannehill down the sideline. But Julio dominates, and then Derrick Henry dominates. You're like, oh, all they got to do is have A.J. Brown come on, and then all the stuff we talked about.
The Roll Tide package
comes
out
true.
There.
Yeah. But then it didn't.
It did.
But they still got the 1 seed. What an interesting season.
It was a very interesting season. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the text line. Also, Joe's got some odds of something that I can't wait. I would pay an insane amount of money for this to happen in the NFL. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Speaking of odds, the NFL Week 1 odds are out now, and now's the time to try FanDuel Sportsbook if you haven't already. Get in on the action early this season. Right now, new FanDuel Sportsbook customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Lots of interesting prop bets out there. Could the Rams be the first team to repeat since the Patriots in 03-04? They're at plus 1,100 odds on that right now. Will Derrick Henry win the rushing title? I say he will. I'm going with Derrick Henry, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just sign up using promo code ROB. Place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. There's no better place to get ready for the football season than on FanDuel, America's number one sports book and official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. We are your racing station. 1025-1063 The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for Go Bowling at the Glen. Also, join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for racing weekend. NASCAR on 1025-1063 The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on 1025-1063 The Game. We're going to get to your odds that you've got for us here in just a second. I am appalled by something right now that I am seeing on Twitter. And this is the Big Ten has their, I guess their TV rights are now done, and CBS is going to be a part of it in some way. And they now have, it says, CBS was coming from at CBS Sports on Twitter. And it says, hello at Big Ten Football. Hit the music. And the music that they're hitting is the SEC on CBS theme, and it drives me nuts.
See, now I'm of a certain age.
There's already this erroneous claim that the Big Ten even approaches the SEC in football, and now they're stealing the music. I won't stand for this.
I will tell you, see, this is generational because I'm of the age where I remember in the 80s when that same music was a Big Ten song back then. So before the SEC.
I won't allow it.
I'm just saying, like, that song transcends leagues. But I get it because it's been so identified since the 90s. Whenever the SEC on CBS became, when did that be? Your entire life of watching football, you recall
for
that?
For the most part,
I know
part,
I can
yeah.
probably Google it and figure it out, yeah. I mean, it's very identical. You're talking 30 years or so where that's been the norm. So I get it. But, if you're old enough, you remember when it was for other non-SEC games as well.
Can't have it.
Well, hey,
but
man.
Apparently it's going to happen.
As an SEC loyalist, would you rather, retain that or completely have complete domain with ESPN?
Well, it's not my money, so I'd rather retain it.
But the idea of, in this superpower battle, although I think they're both just going to be just fine.
They'll be fine.
The money, all this stuff has become such a story and a talking point that I people have started to get to the point where, like, ooh, what's your split between the schools this year? Ah, the Big Ten's got $3 million more per school. I mean, what does it mean?
Well, by the way,
it means new tees on the golf course for the golf team.
But, well, the TV rights deal, but that the Big Ten just signed, by the way, is worth over $7 billion with a B, $7 billion. CBS involved, Big Ten Network, obviously. Some FS1 and Peacock as well. So, $7 billion.
Seven to the B. So, this is why everyone should get a cut. Now, the next question is, are we talking actually getting a cut? Like, athletes actually getting a percentage? I think if you get to that, you're talking about some serious changes that maybe you don't want. But I get the sentiment. For sure.
Unbelievable. You've got some odds for us of something that, if it were to happen, I've talked about this happening before. It's a great question. I would pay a lot of money to see this. What are the odds that you found out there that you'd like to share with us?
It's pretty wild because, again, I get emails every day from Vegas, different books. And so this is Bovada. A lot of people know Bovada.lv. I'm going to read the email from Ross Stevens. Hi, Dan Campbell has become America's favorite head coach, thanks in large part to Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks. Okay, sorry. Bovada, an online sportsbook, has released odds on Campbell stepping into the squared ring against Titans head coach Mike Vrabel.
Oh, man.
Now, can you guess what these odds are? Dan Campbell, and I think we've actually talked about this long ago, didn't we?
Oh, we did.
We've talked about, if Vrabel got in a brawl, who would be the best bet? And at times we've talked about people like Mike Tomlin. Yeah. Who else have we talked about?
There's not a long list.
Yeah, there's not a long list. I mean, it's not like your old guy McCarthy is going to want to,
You don't want any of that.
You don't want, the Shanahan – Geek Squad.
I think you said McVay could be a little scrappy.
I mean,
he would get punched into the ground by Vrabel, but yeah,
he'd get annihilated. So, but Dan Campbell is, that's a beautiful. That could be a heck of a matchup.
It's a heavyweight matchup.
So, what are your anticipated odds for this fantasy matchup?
Well, I'm going to assume that Dan Campbell's favored, although I don't believe he should be. So, I will go. I'll go Dan Campbell. Is it -100?
Yeah. It's so Dan Campbell is -220.
-220.
-220.
Oh man, you can make some money on Vrabel.
Against Vrabel.
-220?
I'm laying down on Vrabel.
Oh, me too.
Because the thing is, although Vrabel's funny too when he wants to be, I just think there's a little goofiness aspect to Campbell, and I think Vrabel would be ruthless.
Oh yeah.
Vrabel would just boxes,
kick
ears,
to the knees. Campbell talks about biting kneecaps.
That is true. He talks about cannibalism.
Vrabel might
is he actually willing to employ cannibalism? That's the question.
-220.
Yeah, that's I guess there's probably a pretty decent size difference. I guess. I don't know.
There can't be that decent of a size difference.
Yeah. What was like?
I think Campbell's probably a little bigger. But Vrabel's 6'4", 250?
Okay, so Dan Campbell, 6'5", 265.
Okay, so he's got a little bit of a size advantage.
But Vrabel's 6'5", right? Oh, yeah, he's 6'4", 261. He's giving up 1 inch and 4 pounds. And to me, he's a meaner dude.
-220.
Yeah, this is
you could make some money on this.
Unfortunately, this is probably not going to happen, but honestly.
I never say never.
What if something like this could actually make huge money for a particular charity? We would be talking boxing, See, I bet you Campbell would do it. Vrabel wouldn't do it, though. He wouldn't do it.
You don't think so?
I doubt it, man. Although he loves going out there and getting beat up by his players, why not get into a ring and be able to punch back?
Because his players, if they actually hurt him.
But he takes some shots, and I think he loves it, you know? And they love it, too. This would be amazing. You know, my number one goal is to get this basketball tournament for Nashville / Tennessee teams in Nashville every year.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's a totally blown opportunity that college basketball in this state is blowing every year to not make it happen. But this has got to be at least mentioned.
Well, now that you brought this up, like, I'm trying to think of the coach in the league that is in third place. Like, who is the – is there anyone that can approach challenging those two? Like, I think Tomlin is probably the guy. I think.
Yeah, are we forgetting somebody?
Let me tell you something. It's certainly not Mike McDaniel down there in Miami. He's at number 32 on this list.
Like, there's a large collection of NFL coaches that I just call the geek squad. Like, they could come over and fix your laptop.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, you're going to
But
if they mess up, you can beat the crap out of them.
I think I may have found the winner.
What you got?
Robert Saleh of the Jets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. Yeah, absolutely. I knew there was somebody we weren't thinking of. Yes. No, he's legit. Big guy. Yep. He's got to be third. I guess Tomlin. Are we forgetting somebody, though? You know, like Andy Reid would tickle you to death, you know, feed you hot dogs. You know,
back in the day when Joe Judge was a head coach, apparently he wasn't afraid to fight people.
Yeah, he talked a big game. I mean, like, there's
Ron Rivera
up and down.
He's a little older, though.
We've mentioned Ron Rivera before on this. And, I would say he's at least in the league. You know, if you turn this into, like, a pro wrestling league, like, he's in there somewhere. It's slim pickings, man.
Todd Bowles?
Nah, I can't guess. I mean, he's younger than some of these guys. But, we're talking, like, the heavyweight division is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know? So
there's not many.
I think you're right. I think there's three that could even – yeah. Like, I think Tomlin, Scrappy. Like, somebody – like, if it was Jim Harbaugh, I actually could see – just because I – you know.
There's an element of maybe craziness to it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for saying it. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You know, but John Harbaugh –
a little bit of a loose cannon out there.
maybe a little bit. I mean, that helps too. And maybe that's why Campbell's minus 220, you know?
That seems like a pretty – that's a little bit more of a heavy favorite. Like, I kind of want this to happen now because I'd lay some money down on Vrabel, and I think you could do well.
I think we've got to – yeah, you know what? Chris from Atlanta, good point. He should at least be mentioned. Sean McDermott, I mean, he's pretty rocked up.
He is.
Like, just so is McVay, but, like, I just don't buy McVay. McDermott, though? Yeah, I could buy that. Yeah, Lovie Smith. That's true. Like, Lovie Smith deserves a mention. Someone's saying Belichick could throw down. Nah, I don't know, man.
I feel like he'd be a hair puller and a biter.
Belichick?
Yes.
That should be a drop right there. Just that out of context comment right there.
Well, like, McVay's 5'10". So, I mean, you could literally, like, Brady would literally, like, hammer fist him into the earth.
But there's always the whole thing with fights. Like, don't fight a wrestler, right?
Yeah.
You may be 6 inches taller than the wrestler, but they will get you. I could see McDermott being kind of like a wrestler kind of guy as a fighter.
Yeah.
You know? Little, just, you know, all of a sudden he gets you in something. You know, the full Nelson and you're screwed. This has been a great segment.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next. Actually on the field and not in the boxing indoor
the
MMA
octagon
ring. See what happens on that front. We'll get Joe's thoughts on what is becoming maybe more of a concerning problem by the day for the Tennessee Titans. We'll get to that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.